Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Since June the 16th, when South African troops and police opened fire on a peaceful school children's demonstration, the white government has presided over the largest massacre of its black population since South Africa came into existence. Hundreds of blacks have died, thousands have been wounded, but the white Prime Minister says there is no crisis.
In 1974, under the apartheid government, the Minister of Bantu Administration and Development, M.C. Botha, issued a decree that made the use of Afrikaans as a medium of instruction in black schools compulsory from Standard 5 onwards. Over the next 2 years and under the oppressive apartheid regime, black society in South Africa became a pressure cooker of tension. The 1976 student protests were officially protesting Afrikaans as a language, but the language was just one aspect of the Bantu education enforced by the apartheid regime. The student protests of 1976 are sometimes all grouped under the term Soweto Uprising. In reality, the student protests happened across the country. Some communities saw more violent reaction from the apartheid police than in others. In Alexandra, police opened fire on protesting youth. On the 18th of June, 22 young people were killed, 45 were injured. Join us this morning as we relive the history, as we pay tribute to the survivors through their testimonies and honor those who were killed for freedom. I'm Howard Feldman from Chai FM.
It's a very good morning to you. My name is Muntu Mbanjwa, and I'm from Alex FM, and I'm with Howard Feldman as my co-host as we are celebrating the Youth Month. And of course, it is indeed a youthful Sunday. So thank you so much for joining us. And of course, we've got quite a number of guests still to come on our show as we are taking you back down the memory lane of the 1976 student uprising in Alex, in Soweto, and that's spread throughout the country. So you and I and Howard, we are together until 12 o'clock midday.
Absolutely amazing. And this is such a phenomenal joint initiative, both Chai FM and Alex FM getting together to tell these stories. Stories that, Bantu, I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know. I read a lot. I was involved in South African history. Mm. But why don't we ever talk about what went on in Alex? We talk about Soweto. Everybody knows that story. Why is the Alex story not told?
I think you're quite right there, Howard. I think the fact is that it depends how we narrate our history as to what happened. Mm-hmm. As we would know now that, as a matter of fact, today's history has favored the winners. So sometimes it's very hard to articulate the other side of the history. But as it may, taking through us the painful memories of the 76, what truly transpired, I think it was part of the system to make it quite pretty sure that, as you would know, that the struggle was about the introduction of the forceful introduction of apartheid in Afrikaans as well.
So
I think from that point of view, we would know that, I mean, in other areas, for example, I mean, we were secluded areas whereby people never had so much information about what was happening because the government of the National Party by then, they did make sure that they did not want their constituencies to know what was happening behind. So they did it deliberately to make sure that history is not articulate the way it's supposed to be. But well, here we are now. Well, it's a free country. It's democracy. Absolutely. People have information and access to, you know, to social media and stuff like that. But compared then, I mean, it was the draconian laws of the time, you know.
And even the language.
It was
the Soweto riots. It wasn't the Soweto protests.
Yeah.
It was this whole, this fear-mongering as to, because, of course, news was fully controlled.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have access access
to
information and know what was really going on the ground.
Yeah. Hence, I'm saying, Howard, that it was bad. It was during what I should call the dark days of apartheid and during the draconian laws, whereby, I mean, even if you as a white journalist, you would be arrested, I mean, being found reporting a story in a township. So it was, you know, it was during those days. But I guess the generation of 1976, June 1976, it was quite a pretty turning point for South Africa. It was indeed a turning point for South Africa, because since then, South Africa was never the same again. But now, 46 years later, still a million-dollar question that is being asked. I'm happy that we're still going to have other guests that are coming through the class of 1976. I think they've got some good answers to answer as to what role should they be playing in terms of helping the youth of today to solve how to solve their problems and challenges of that. Because some would say they are missing, you know, in action. They're nowhere to be seen to play that pivotal part in terms of addressing issues for the youth, how to solve and how to solve their challenges and so on. So they're still to come. It is 6 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock, and it's a very good morning to you in case you have just joined in. My name is Muntu Mbanjwa, and I'm coming side by side with Howard Feldman from Kai FM. So Alex FM and Kai FM coming side by side through all the way till 12 midday.
Absolutely, and we'd love to hear from you. 34519 is the SMS line, or 0618951019. You can either contact the Chai FM studios on that line, or you can, of course, contact Alex FM. We will be reading out some of your messages a little bit later, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love your thoughts. We'd love your memories. Take us back to where you were in 1976 this week, whether it's on June the 16th, June the 18th. Take us back.
Absolutely. It is the Youth Month, and of course, joining us on a Youthful Sunday, we are taking you down the memory lane of the painful past of that faithful day, 1976, June 16, June 17, June 18, where thousands of students died in that protest. Stay with us.
As long as those who rule us are not inspired by justice, but dictated to by fear, greed, and racialism, we shall not be satisfied until South Africa is one undivided country, a land where there shall be meaningful participation in a democratic process, in a government for all its people.
This is Community Connect with Alex FM and Chai FM. One community, one soul.
It is 8 minutes past the hour of nine. I'm Howard Feldman. This is a community in a conversation, a community connect. We'll be speaking to a number of relevant people throughout this morning's show, and absolutely delighted to be joined this morning by Noah Situ. Muntu, who is? Give us a bit of background here.
Thank you, Feldman. Noah Situ, he's one of the student leaders of the 1976 uprising, born and brought up in Alex, also as an activist, and he was part of the Soweto uprising when it occurred on that fateful day on June 16, and is a former scholar at the school where it was a political hotbed of the time, Moritz Isaacson.
Right.
He's a former scholar, he's a former student there, and he was also a close associate to the former student leader at CHC, right, McDonald Mashinini. Okay. So they went to the same school.
Right.
You'll remember that Moritz Isaacson, the school,
yes,
it was a political hotbed of the time.
Yes.
Because this is where it all started. And Tsietse Mashinini and other student leaders of the time, there were scholars there. So Noah is part of that 1976 generation. Also, he's born in Alex, and throughout his entire life, he's been an activist, even up till today. So he's better placed to take us through that faithful day as a former scholar there.
In fact, they've just told us we're going to be, in fact, chatting first. Before we speak to Noah, we are going to be speaking to Thabo Mopasi from the Nelson Mandela Heritage Museum.
Yeah.
And as soon as we...
Still more to come, yeah.
Yeah, there's more. Can I just ask you, can you paint us a picture of what Alex looked like in 1976, in terms of schools? You mentioned schools. What did the area look like? What was the environment like?
I must pretty say that the environment was quite pretty bad. I, for one, I was born and brought up in Alex for many years, as much as I can remember. But during back in the 70s, there were no schools.
There were no good
schools, right, in a sense, in terms of structures and stuff like that, because most of the people by then, we attended schools in churches.
Okay.
And then it went later on, but it all started in school maths.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had churches. We attended churches.
So how did you spoke earlier, you mentioned today there's social media, everybody's got a way of connecting.
Yeah.
There, of course, there wasn't. Everything was, it certainly couldn't be done through mainstream media because that was so heavily censored. Yeah. Things had to happen in communication, had to happen at a different level.
Yeah. It happened in different ways because by then people were involved in the struggle. I mean, they would gather in different forms. They would organize the soccer games, and then the police will think that it's a soccer match, only to find that it's a political gathering of some sort, you know, just to trick the police not to be aware of what was going on. So in many ways, people had ways and means of coming together and, you know, discussing politics, mobilizing people on the ground, conscientizing people about the challenges and the difficulties we face. You must remember that Alexander is the mother of all the townships, right? And then Alexander, as we say, as we call it today, is the mother of all the townships, is the mother of all the provinces, is the mother of all the continents in Africa.
I love that image.
You get what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, because we have all people coming from different walks of life, different avenues, coming from different provinces, coming for greener pastures in the city of Johannesburg, and they end up, the first stop when they get to Johannesburg is Alex, not Soweto. Because why?
Yeah.
As I said, that Alex is the mother of all the township, because Alexandra is the place where things, many, many, many things tend to originate. And then the minute Alexander sneezes, the whole country catches the flu.
And what's interesting is the whole, what we call the Soweto protest, actually started first in Alex.
Yeah, it is. As I said, you must remember the other thing is that Alexander gave birth to Soweto.
Mm, mm.
The people of Soweto, there were some of them, many of them, they were forcefully removed from Alex, and that's how Soweto began.
Right.
So Soweto gave birth to Soweto. So as big as it may, Soweto, well, many politicians, they started to come to Alex prior, before June 16, trying to, you know, put the whole protest together before it has to explode. So it went on and on and on, but I would say most of the leaders from Soweto, they were made in Alex. They came, this is where they were politically marinated.
Interesting.
Many of them.
That is a phenomenal expression, by the way.
Absolutely.
Politically marinated.
That's it. Even Madiba himself, when he came to Alex, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't think Alex gave ANC to Madiba, because Madiba, when he came to Alex, he was not even a politician by then. But because of the lives and the challenges and the difficulties of people, that's how he became a politician.
Mm.
And he became an activist, and the rest was history. But I would say, even in Soweto, I mean, Madiba wouldn't have got a house in Soweto if it was not Alex.
Because
he was a resident of Alex. So this is, you know, the consciousness of the politics of Alex made Madiba to be what it is.
And in terms of as we wait for our guest to join us, in terms of your own history,
mm-hmm. Well, my own history, as I said, I was born and brought up in Alex, and well, it happened that I'm the great great grandchild of the first man to buy, build property in Alex as far back as 1903.
Wow.
So my great-grandfather, he is the first citizen. So he's the first, we are the first family to move in Alex as far back as 1905.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so we, I'm the fifth generation now. We are the fifth generation of my age. So as I said, I was born, brought up, cheesed, and baloney'd in Alex, so I grew up in Alex. So Alex is my life, you know.
That's actually, so it's absolutely part of who you are.
That's who I am. Okay, it's 15 minutes away from 9 o'clock, and we are still having a cozy conversation with Howard Feldman from High FM, with me, Muntu Mbanja, from Alex FM. And still to come, going to be talking to Mr. Noah Sito, the former student leader of the 1976 student uprising, and of course, so Mr. Kenny Vickerman from the Sarovki National School Governing Body, and of course, one of the Alex former student leaders and former school teacher, Mr. Ducky Rametsi, still to come. And of course, we still have to have His Majesty King Bongani III still to come on the show. We are taking you down the painful past of the 1976 uprising. It is 16 after 9, and this is Muntu Mbanja from Alex FM, coming side by side with Howard Feldman on Kai FM. Good morning to you, South Africa.
The era of the comrades and the toy toy had begun.
Toy toy happens everywhere. It happens anywhere. It's to keep the morale very high. It sort of says, through this power, we can do it.
We sing a song as a determined nation. And that song contains anger. It contains also determination to win what we want at the end of the day.
Community Connect. History, memory, society.
It is 9:18. I'm Howard Feldman, and we are taking a look at 1976. Joining us in a studio is Noah Sito. Noah, a very, very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen, and I hope all of you are healthy.
We are indeed. With me in studio, absolutely fantastic. It's a joint initiative between Chai FM and Alex FM. Muntu Mbanja joins me as well as we talk about these historic events.
Absolutely. It is indeed a youthful Sunday, and still commemorating and celebrating the Youth Month. And of course, we are joined by Mr. Noah Sito, the former student leader of the 1976 student uprising, is going to take us through on that fateful day in 1976 as to what really, really happened. He saw it all. He's a former scholar and is an activist. Dade Noah, thank you so much.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning again. And yes, I was a student at Alex Secondary School before, and when I completed my junior certificate, I went to Morris Isaacson.
Right.
And I think we normally used to be graced by King David School as exchange of information
to the
student.
Yeah.
Many years back, so I don't want to leave any loose ends so that somebody may come and damage everything that we are trying to solidify
achieve
here. So, well, I went to Morris Essex in 1975.
Right.
As doing matric.
Okay, there was matric.
There
right
were two steps into matric.
Yeah.
There was a Form 4, and the final one, they called it Form 5. And I think, some time ago, Morris Isaacson was not taught in Afrikaans as medium of instruction. I want to put it very clear to everybody. So we in fact assisted those schools that used to get their medium of instruction through Afrikaans. And the crux of the matter here was to say, if we have education, let's have one common education for the entire nations, everybody. So, and we must all be skilled. Nobody should be left behind in the setup of the economy.
Right.
So then it came to a time when people were complaining, and we said, and T.T. Mashinini, before he could lead the actual student, there was a meeting of all schools in Soweto where T.T. Mashinini was elected as president of
the students.
Mm. So we respected him, and one of the secretariats was Majaka Tata Mukwena. I think Matata is somewhere in the Soto now, part of the actual government.
Okay.
And there are many others that I cannot quote, but here we are looking at two critical people who are very much important.
Part of this.
Yeah, and it was decided to say June 16 will be the day for us to demonstrate to the government to say we don't want Afrikaans as medium of instructions.
Right.
We want this to be moved away. So, because when you would qualify as maybe an artisan going overseas, for you to can grapple with the situation for studying, you have to take transformation language into English, and sometimes very hard to go by, and these things are not the same.
Yeah.
Because if you take Jewish and you take Greek and you take any other languages.
Yeah.
So we needed a unification language that we wanted to all understand.
Right.
Because this would be key to the economy of the country. Now, when this thing started, it started in the morning, and this very week on the 16th, we were at Morris Isaacson. I'm a member of alumni as I speak, and we 2014 we established to say we cannot let the legacy of T.T. Mashinini go by.
Brilliant.
It must be recorded properly.
Brilliant.
So we did that since 2014, and this month, as we invited one of the people who in fact are educated, Dr. Maruhani was there. So we're talking about mental depression of all students anywhere else. It should not be in African schools. It should be in everywhere.
Right, across the board.
We have children who are taking drugs across the board.
100%.
So it's a parental problem, because we do not have the power to contain the actual capacity of our children who are learning at school. Some carry drugs to school, some carry guns, and everybody does as it pleases. Where's the discipline?
So can I ask you, do you think that maybe, I mean, it sounds a bit counterintuitive, but do you think that in 1976 there was a cause and there was something so important worth fighting for, whereas maybe our kids today have kind of lost the meaning, in the sense that you were part of something bigger, and there must have been an understanding back then that this was important, and this was something that you were going to put yourselves at risk for, that you were going to risk real either physical harm, death, or even jail. But it was that important. Do you think maybe today a cause is missing, that our kids actually are just a little bit at sea?
There is lack of parental guidance. That's
interesting.
One.
Okay.
Two, lack of disrespect by other people who may be filthy rich to undermine a teacher. But yet this man is so critical in the lives of their children.
Absolutely.
Now, when we go back somewhere in Linksfield here, there was a very, very rich family that had only one daughter, and they worried very much about this. And you remember in the olden days when a child from the white community would be owl, she would be hunted or be hunted as a boy, and something has to be instructed to say, because we have so much and that we must leave behind for this child as he grows. So then incarcerate the child but not damage her or him. So these are some situations that we are lacking today. So even children today, they fight even for their parents' cars just to go and drive in the street anyhow.
And not a real...
these are not real growth, growing of a child at the right way. Children must be nurtured the right way. They must know that they have to be student, and they must be responsible, and they must interact on a good mission at all times. So these are the things that we wanted.
All right. There you have it. That's Mr. Noah Sito, the former leader of the 1976 student uprising. Now, Mr. Noah, I would like you to take us through the man himself. This is the man who was regarded as one of the greatest leaders of all time, but yet he's not hugely celebrated. You went to the same school with the former student leader Tsietsi McDonald Mashinini. Can you just take us through what kind of a leader he was? How would you prefer to define or describe Tsietsi Mashinini as a leader? Because the young generation of today often ask questions that why Tsietsi Mashinini is not being widely celebrated like other political leaders, because it was a collective effort of the struggle. So how would you define or describe the former student leader, Tsietsi Mashinini? What kind of a leader he was?
Well, I think Tsietsi Mashinini was well-balanced. He had all characteristics that each and every child had. But certain bad elements, he would just shed them off based on realizing to say one has to conduct himself in a right manner, not to, in fact, proliferate or damage other children. But he was spot on. On anything that is wrong at the school, he will stand firm. One other thing that we did as student under the leadership of Tsietsi Mashinini, we were not tolerating the actual criminals who would molest us as students.
Yeah.
That's one key thing.
That's interesting.
So he fought it very hard. It was myself, Tsietsi Mashinini as a leader, as Zobani, Bus Mazibogo, Dominic Zulu, and all of these people. They were activists, all of them. That's why when June 16 came, most of them had to be point-fingered by the actual system.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking about this cream of this school. And Tsietsi Mashinini was a good baseball player. He was not just a person only. He participated in many activities within the school. And he would even go and listen to the debates among schools and many other things. Now, when Tsietsi would speak, everybody would listen. And mind you, like we were as children who in fact taught the line and confined ourselves to the constitution of maybe the institution that we are belonging to, we would do things as children, and I think all of us gentlemen here, we were fugitive as children. Everybody in the school that he went to, there were those who smoked and there were those who were not smoking. But we interacted and we never undermined each other. When one is injured, it was as if everybody is injured, and would take that pinch for all of us.
Still on that note, an injury to one is an injury to all. That was a slogan of the time. Now, Still talking about Tsitsi Mashinini himself, there's also another big banning issue. It is not indeed a banning issue, but many people asking the question that why people are made to believe that the first victim to be shot in 1976, it was Hector Peterson.
Mm.
Although it was not Hector Peterson, he was not the first victim to be shot in 1976. So you are the man who can take us through who was the first man to be shot in 1976 in Soweto before we get to Alex. The first victim to be shot in 1976, we want to correct the statement. Was Hector Peterson or there's a name?
Let me say in passing, Hector Peterson is one of the stats that took place during that day.
Mm.
But the first person ever to have shot among students, it's Hastings Love.
So why do we are we all under this impression,
yeah,
that it's Hector Peterson?
Now there you heard it from the horse's mouth. The first victim to be shot was a scholar named, as he's alluding, called Heston Ndlovu. He's quite right. Hector was part of the stats.
Right.
He was young by then. He was in his early teen. He was still a young boy. So I think what happened on that day, Hector Peterson was caught up in the crossfire. But he was not
part of the
process. On the thick and thin of things.
Right.
He was not part of the match. He was not part of the student, but he was part of the students on Lucas. So when guns and bullets starting to go different direction, it happened, he was caught up in that fire. But the first student, as he's alluding, was Hastin Lovo.
And he was a former student,
he was part of the march.
We don't know that not everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
I think that is very, and that's, I guess, what we're doing here. We're trying to correct.
Yes, as I've said earlier, Owen Feldman, that there was some sort of some history favoring other people, and also some sort of suppression of this kind of information, that it must not, it should not get to certain people to understand what is really happening. You see? So now we are living in a new age now. So things are now starting to come out. As I said, that it was part of suppression, the way people were doing that, not to want to, you know, to make their people uncomfortable. So it's better to suppress that information. People should not be aware.
For the bigger cause or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. So here we have it. So it went on. Now, still on that note, Mr. Noah, just take us through on that fateful day, June 16, how did it come into being?
Yeah.
Just take us through that day, and the plenary, that fateful morning.
The plenary for us to...
What was the plenary day?
The plenary was to hand over the memorandum to the actual government of the day then. When all schools were informed to say, we are all going to march against Afrikaans as medium of instruction, and this is a peaceful march for a better change. So each school would take its own route. And us, from Morris Isaacson, were to move from Morris Isaacson to Orlando Stadium, joined with other schools. Mm-hmm. Now there was Naledi, there was Skanantwani, there was the other school in
Orlando High. Mm-hmm.
There was Madibane High.
Yeah.
There were so many schools in Soweto, except Immaculata.
Mm-hmm.
Immaculata never allowed its students because they were taught in English.
So they didn't have the complaint in inverted commas.
It did not.
Right.
And mind you, this is a Roman Catholic school. So they were solidly strict on intervening into matters that does not affect them. So I think it was a bit selfish in a sense that one society...
Well, from history, when you look back in history, it certainly doesn't paint a good picture.
Yes, because at the end of the story, all of us, we have to intermix.
100%.
So then the disparity now weighs more, much more weight than those who were privileged and those who were not privileged. So we were supposed to have struck the balance here. But anyway, it did not hamper the actual struggle. The struggle continues. And as we marched, we were taking other schools along, going to Orlando Stadium. The school where the actual Hastings Love died, it was called Matleke.
Mm-hmm.
High School. Mm-hmm. It was one of the other schools. That's where...
Is that the SK actual, Matsiki?
The actual, yeah. The actual secretary of the student body was schooling. The Majaka Tata Mukwen. He was a secretary there.
Mm.
Now, incidentally, when the police were informed, the bridge between Orlando and Orlando West, that's where the police stopped, so that we should not cross over. And some inquisitive policemen came where the students were. And when they came, they released a dog. The dog was struck, and I think it was stabbed by students, and it died.
Mm.
Now, Hastings Love was shot at close range, then he died. So everything, the pandemonium started. People ran into different directions. Now, there were even certain policemen who in fact wanted to shoot as well, being on the African side. But for that matter, I think this thing was not recorded properly.
Interesting.
Because there were some policemen who in fact lost their shoes on their way, running away from the actual student, because pandemonium spread big time. Now, in every situation of war, criminals, you, priest, anybody comes into the fray.
Right.
Everybody. There's no one who can control.
Right.
Unless if they simmer down and start saying, let's look at what is the cause and the problem.
Mm.
So, then I think we could not even hand even the memorandum. I think even the documents were lost along the way.
Right, because it just became chaos.
Yes.
At the end of the day, the statistics, how many dead bodies were counted on that fateful day?
Well, I think statistically, in the situation that we were, we only counted Hastings, because other people died, even innocent people. Now, when the hell broke up, everybody would, one would go to a shop, one would go to a restaurant, one would go to where, you see? So these are different attractions to many people who do not know the value system of the actual march, see? Because always it's like people going to church. Some do not go to church to go and pray. They've got their own ulterior motives.
Right.
So,
right, in other words, there were people with other agendas, and there was...
That's for sure.
It was a full range of people. So
that's
there were
for
things
sure.
that happened that, you know, that wasn't part of the goal, which was to deliver this memorandum and to protest
the Afrikaans construction. That's for sure. Even vehicles that were delivering food in Soweto had to be touched.
Right.
You know,
right,
because people wanted to loot.
Yeah,
you see, they saw a chance for them to can take anything that they want.
Right.
Now... I should think, based on that, all of us, when we do things, there are plenaries, there are everything. We don't do 1, 2, 3. But ultimately, the one who, in fact, starts taking things out of context is the one who starts the thing with his own group. Having, like you said, the mindset of a person, if he comes to a meeting, it's his own, but he may influence a bigger section of the population, and that be seen to be danger.
All right. Still talking to Mr. Noah Situ, one of the student leaders of 1976, and still to come, the class of 1976, still to come on the show. And your time is almost 29 minutes before the hour 10 o'clock. And this is Kai FM and Alex FM Muntu Banjwa, joined by Howard Feldman, coming side by side all the way till 12 o'clock midday. Before we get to other thick and thin of things, take us through from Soweto to June 16, then Alex explodes June 17. Take us through that. How did it erupt in Alex?
In Alex,
role did you play?
In Alex, there was nothing planned
on June 16.
But because I was a student and I realized that where I came from, medium of instructions was Afrikaans.
Mm.
So On the 17th, I was going back to school.
That's now in Alex.
You can see whether, no, in Soweto.
In Soweto, okay.
And when we reached New Canada.
New Canada
yeah,
station.
Trains were late. Mm. And we had to change trains to wait for others that were coming from Westgate. Mm. And for that matter, when the police arrived, they picked up on me.
At the station?
Yeah, at the New Canada. Mm. Then they said, look, where are you going? Because we see you got a uniform.
Wow.
And I said, I'm going to school. They said, where? I said, Morris Isaacson.
Mm.
They said to me, we don't want any other student from anywhere else to come into this space because you are messing up with Soweto. Soweto was so quiet and very, 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 very successful.
Right. Wow.
So I decided, because then they said to me, you shall not go into a train. You shall walk home. Then I said, okay, walking home, I got out of the station and I went through to Diepkloof. When I reached Diepkloof, I met one of the guys who was, in fact, a student at Alexandra Secondary, the same as me. And he was stranded. He could not have transport to go home. So he says to me, let's try and hike. Then I hiked, in fact. I left him behind. Then when I reached Alex, I alighted from a bus. No. I got a lift. Mm. I alighted from a lift. And when I said, but Alex Secondary, it's taught through medium of Africans. No, I must go and inform these people. It came from my own self.
Wow.
I was not sent.
Right.
But because of the revolution that I saw, to fix things,
yes,
it has to affect even my area. So I'll be, in fact, a coward not to inform these people to say everything has to change. Then I came. When I came, I got into school and the principal was there and he said, you're not my student here. What is it that you want? And I said to him,
do you still remember who was the principal by the time?
Taunyane.
Oh, Lipile Taunyane.
L.M. Taunyane.
Okay.
So then I met two ladies, the Matandani's daughter and the other lady. She's still alive. She stays at phase one in Alex.
They were both scholars there.
Yeah, they were both scholars. I said to them, I want you to organize so that you sit together and you caucus this matter to say Africans cannot be tolerated to be used as medium of instruction. This is a repetition wherever I was. I did not influence anything that would be dangerous. But after I've left them, I said I must not be in the plenary, much the same as I'm avoiding to be picked up by police unawarely. Then they met somewhere in the stadium, planned, and I told them how to do it. They must plan this thing so that we hand a memorandum at the stadium in Alex. Yes. And in Alex, there was only one secondary, no high school, any other thing.
Yeah.
Now, there was other schools in there. There was the colored high school. It was the secondary. It was there as well. So after having left that, then the time came on the 18th. And I said, because I told them, I'll have to monitor and supervise whether things goes right. In the morning on the 18th, June 1976, because people had already seen or heard about the activity in Soweto, break into the bottle stores, in shops, and many other things.
Now that's on the 18th?
On the 18th.
That's right, the 18th now.
Yes.
Okay.
So then I became much more surprised when I woke up at the normal time that I used to go to school to. I would go out of the house 4:30 in the morning, same as people who were working somewhere in the city. When I woke up, I washed and I prepared myself. But this time, I did not even don my uniform.
School uniform.
Yeah. When I got into the state, many, many PATCO buses were already burning then. From the criminal section of the population. Now, this must be very clear. It was not student. Student had not yet prepared themselves to go to school.
Right.
There was, because the school started at 8. You see, and the actual bakeries were robbed. Certain shops of other people were broken in.
It's almost like this lit a fuse of anger. That just was waiting to explode, almost.
Yes. I think that you put it rightly so.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in a situation where other people are below the breadline and others are...
It just ignited this.
It's natural. It's natural. Mm-hmm. We cannot run away from it. Then I woke up. Then I said, but this is not the plan that we had. And on that day, so many people were shot. Some were shot even before the actual students could march on their own.
Yeah.
And they started, they went to school. From the school, the principal said, what is wrong today? Because the children started singing, Maba ye, Maba ye, Umsaba we tu, Sikalela, Sikalela, Izwele tu, Amanda! Amanda! Then, along the route, when they moved out of the school, they decided to say, okay, because Alexandra has got one so-called high school, let's take even standard sixes. Then they took other students from Itute. From there, they walked out through Selborne to 16th Avenue and went to Beauvais and took the standard sixes, and they came back and via Selborne North.
Yeah.
And from there, they went to Polusho to take some standard sixes. And from there, they came back and they moved along Ruth.
The Roosevelt Road.
Yeah, Ruth. Ruth. Okay. There's Roosevelt and Ruth.
Oh, yeah, Ruth.
So they went up. So as they reached 6th Avenue, they had to go to Roosevelt.
Right.
Yeah.
Moving into Roosevelt to go and to Presbyterian
Church.
School.
Oh.
There was Presbyterian School.
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, between 5 and 6.
5 and 6, yes, I remember.
So we took standard sixes out. They took standard sixes out with me observing because I wanted to be at a distance.
Right.
And they went up Roosevelt, where the actual administration of the township was at 2nd and Roosevelt. That's where Pandemonium started because there was an administrator there by the name of Jordan. Jordan had recently bought a new vehicle, the SP, when they were introduced by that time. So student came into the yard and they turned it around and they burned it. And the police came. You see, now when the police came, they came via the actual bridge. There was a bridge in Alex. Now it's broken off because there's a new main road there. You know, that has been constructed. So there was one variant, brownish in color, of the actual special force of Brixton. So the first bullets, as they came at the corner of 2nd and Roosevelt. At corner 2nd and Roosevelt, there was a shoe maker there, speedy shoe specialist.
Sure.
So the first bullet, even today, as we can go and attest to it, the first bullet struck on the side of that very shop, very, very, very shoe repair.
Speedy shoe repair.
Yeah, and people started running, were going down. As we passed Roman Catholic, because Roman Catholic had already moved out, these are some of the things that we must declare.
Right.
Then we went down, and then others went through First Avenue towards between
We will be right back. Let's just hold it there. We'll be right back just after these words.
Right. Absolutely fascinating to get a very, very real account of what happened at the time. And in just one moment, we will be speaking to the Yapi Vilinkulu being the first person killed. We in the Alex massacre, we are going to be speaking to the Yapi Vilinkulu Family Trust board member and getting that perspective as well. Noah Situ, I do want to thank you for your testimony, your survivor testimony, you brought the situation and you brought the events of June 1976 back to us with such clarity and perspective that it is really valuable and really greatly appreciated. Thank you for taking the time and for committing to have this conversation.
I must really say, Howard, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat to the man himself who's been through it, who has seen it all. And of course, Mr. Situ, I must really say thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us. It has been absolute great and good pleasure for talking to us. And we sincerely wish you best of the best in your future endeavors. Thank you so much, Mr. Situ.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was mouthful for us to get and exchange views.
Absolutely.
And received and project.
Absolutely.
That is how things go by.
100%.
Thank you very much.
All right. In case you have just joined us, it's a very good morning to you. We are on a youthful Sunday. It's a youthful month. It's a splendid Sunday. We are still on up until 12 midday. And of course, coming side by side with Howard Feldman from Kai FM and Muntu Bajo from Alex FM. And of course, if you'd like to engage with us, tell us what it's on your mind. You can engage with us on our WhatsApp number. It's 068-212-9281. That's our studio WhatsApp number in Alex FM. And of course, you can also talk to us, our Beijing studio number. Of course, it's 011-440-1396. That's our Alex FM studio number if you'd like to engage with us. And of course, let's keep those WhatsApp messages coming. And you can WhatsApp your messages. So our WhatsApp number is 068-212-9281. And of course, coming up, we will be joined by Jimmy Masingli from the Yapi Vilinkulu Family Trust board member. And of course, you would know that Yapi Vilinkulu, he was like the Hastin and Glove of Soweto. He's one of the victims that was caught up in this uprising.
And he was the first. Was he the first person to be shot or to be killed in the uprising?
Yeah. We are told he is the first person to be shot. And of course, we'll hear more from the board member of the Family Trust. Will take us through. Still to come, Kenneth Vickerman from the South African National School Governing Bodies. And of course, another student leader and a former school teacher, Mr. Daki Rametsi, is still to come. And also the former Robben Island former Robben Island prisoner and also political activist, His Majesty King Bongani will be coming through as well to take us through the whole subject. It is almost 5 minutes before 10 o'clock. It is Kai FM on a youthful, soulful Sunday.
A very, very good morning to you. It's absolutely wonderful that you're joining us. You've got the numbers to communicate with Alex FM. If you want to communicate as well on our Telegram line, it's 061-895-1019. You can also send us your SMSs this morning. Please do that. Let us know what you're thinking. Get involved in this conversation. We're taking a look back at the events of June 1976. We're trying to get some perspective. We're trying to bring it to bring some perspective on those events. Jimmy Masingli, welcome to Chai FM and welcome to Alex FM. It is greatly appreciated that you're joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, tell us about the Family Trust.
I'd like to greet everyone at home. The Yapi Vilinkulu Trust is a trust which represents the family of Velankulu and the community of Alex at large. The trust is about, raising awareness about who's Chapi.
Right.
Especially to the youth of today, because a lot of our youth, especially in Alexander, they don't know who's Chapi, let alone the youth. Even the majority of adults in Alexander, you ask them who's Chapi Velankulu, they don't know. So we thought maybe let us group ourselves so that we can preserve this history and make sure that it doesn't die away. So we started the trust so that the trust can go around and educate
people
about who's Chapi.
Right.
That's what the trust is.
Right. Why do you think, and it's a fascinating thing, because so much less is known about what went on in Alex than what went on in Soweto. Now, I understand at the time there was this terrible control of any information. So whatever information got out was critical. But yet, the story of Alex isn't told, certainly from my perspective, enough. I don't know that we hear it enough, and Alex is connected to Johannesburg in such a incredibly important way. Why do you think that is?
You know, it is not told, and I don't know why it is not told, because even Soweto itself, Soweto comes from Alex.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Alex is the oldest township. But the history of Alex is, it's always not been told. That's why Chapi Velankulu is not known about him, because our history is not told. And we don't know why he's dead. You know, I don't know, I can say why.
Interesting that.
Yeah, quite very interesting. As I said earlier on, Howard, that I think we need more historians and more authors, particularly black authors, to write our own stories as our stories are being told. So I think we still need a lot to. There's a lot needs to be done on that. Now, Jimmy, as you said, that many people don't know who was Chapi Velankulu. Can you just take us through to the generation of today? Young people, older people, they know, they are familiar with the name Chapi Velankulu, but they've hardly ever heard, and the man is not yet being celebrated. As a family trust board member of the trust, what is it that the trust is doing in terms of honoring Chapi Velankulu, in terms of making sure that the message, is got across? The young generation of today understands, because really nothing is being said about Chapi, yet there is a trust. We don't have any political memorial lectures to lecture the young generation about Chapi Velankulu in terms of what kind of a leader he was. So how would you define Chapi as a leader, and what really transpired on that day? Did he also died on June the 18th on that day? Take us through Chapi Velankulu as the man himself. Who was actually Chapi Velankulu?
Maybe to take the opportunity and teach those who don't know who Chapi is. Chapi was one of those activists in 1976 on the 18th of June who went around Alexander and mobilized school children to go and join their counterpart in Soweto to fight against the apartheid regime. Chapi was at the forefront of that. So when he mobilized those school kids, when they were about to go out of Alexander, then that's when they met the apartheid regime coming through. Then that's when he got shot.
Right.
Yes, that's what happened on the day. So we believe, as Chapi Velankulu Trust, that Chapi is the first victim in Alexander.
In Alex. Right.
So being the first victim, what amazes us is that that history is not documented. Maybe, as Mr. Mbanjo has said here, maybe we need the authors who can maybe rewrite the history.
Yes,
start capturing that and rewrite the real history.
I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to be back with you in just one moment. It is about to go 10 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman.
It's a very good morning to you, in case you have just joined us. Welcome to the Soulful splendid Sunday. My name is Muntu Banjwa, and I'm co-hosting with Mr. Hubert Feldman from Kai FM all the way up until 12 o'clock. Of course, you'll remember that in 1974, under the apartheid government, the Minister of Bantwe Administration and Development, M.C. Botha, issued a decree that made the use of Afrikaans as a medium of instruction in black schools compulsory from standard 5 and onwards.
Kai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.